smooth political transition in Iraq hinges in part on the successful reconstruction of that country. So far, there have been at least two contrasting stories of U.S. efforts to rebuild Iraq. The Bush administration has concentrated on accomplishments in restoring that nation's infrastructure, repairing, building bridges and ministry headquarters, reopening schools, restoring electricity. But for Iraqis, those advances are often tempered by the practical challenges of daily life. NPR's Emily Harris joins us from Baghdad. Emily, thanks for being with us.
Nice to be here.
And, for example, if you turned on a light switch, would you get electricity now? How reliable is electricity, water, other basics?
I would get electricity because I stay in a hotel where they have a generator that they turn on. But most Iraqis only get electricity for a couple of hours a day. It turns on for a few hours, off for a few hours, on for a few hours, off for a few hours. There's been $1.5 billion spent on the electrical system in the past, since the U.S. has been here. But the reason that production levels have, they hit pre-war highs for 2 days in October and then dropped again. And the reason is, according to U.S. officials, that they're trying to do the kind of repair work and maintenance work that should have been done for months that wasn't during the Saddam Hussein regime.
Mm-hmm. And to be sure, there have been some transformers that have blown up, lots of wire that was taken, that sort of thing.
That's right. I mean, these do remain targets for people who are against the current government and the U.S. occupation. The looting is not as big of a problem as it was, but certainly the transformers are targets. And overall, it's that electricity issue is a really difficult one because it's something that really affects Iraqis every single day, and it reminds them that things are not the way they want to be here in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Difficult for jobs, for businesses to reopen if there's a lack of electricity. That aggravates crime and security when there's not light.
All of that thing. And the degree to which the lack of electricity was really illustrated to me this week was when I visited with a family who I met earlier this fall. At that point, the father of the family had been in prison and they were looking for him. And I went back to see if he'd gotten out. And he did not have anything really bad to say about his time in U.S. custody. So they were treated well. But he was really angry that the lights were still not working when he got out after 4 months in prison.
Yeah. Help us understand, Emily, as you hear it, is the back and forth that many Iraqis seem to feel. I remember from my own time, a certain amount of incredulity that the largest military powers on earth couldn't accomplish some of the basic functions of everyday life.
That's right. It just does blow their mind that the country was occupied in a matter of weeks and a matter of months, and the services they want are still not accomplished. I mean, there are things that have happened, and the U.S. officials like to point out some things like 1,500 elementary schools being fixed up, over 150 road and bridge projects. But it's the things that aren't fixed that really people notice, and because it makes their life very difficult. A bridge that was bombed is still a one-lane temporary bridge. The traffic jam in front of that every day is a complete and utter nightmare.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, ongoing security problems make it difficult for reconstruction to proceed.
On some practical levels, like contractors getting shot, those are people who were working here. Jobs need to be replaced. People need to fill those jobs. And then also, yes, just very much, I mean, who wants to invest here when you can't be sure of security?
NPR's Emily Harris in Baghdad. Thanks very much.
Pleasure.